In last week's gospel lesson, Jesus taught us. He taught us about vines and he taught us about branches. The branches are his people who abide in him, the true vine of life. And for every branch that flows out of that vine, it is inevitable that such a branch will bear good fruit. In other words, the believer who is alive to God in Jesus Christ will bear fruits, proving him or her to be a true disciple of God. Fruits come from abiding in Jesus Christ. Now, in today's gospel lesson, our Lord is specific, and he tells us what that fruit is. The fruit of the believer that Jesus is talking about is none other than Christian love shown towards the neighbor. This gospel text today, friends, it is all about love. And it's the one commandment our Lord Jesus gives us when he says these words, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." Now, some of you might be thinking, wait a second, I thought there were 10 commandments. Why do we only see one commandment here? Well, you are right. There are 10 commandments, and they are still binding on the Christian today. However, the 10 commandments are very much all about love. That is, loving God and loving the neighbor. Go through the books of Moses, read the prophets, and you will find that every command, injunction, sanction, and ordinance uttered by God Almighty can be reduced to love. Loving God and loving the neighbor. In fact, Jesus says in Matthew's gospel, on these two commandments, that is loving God and loving the neighbor, depend all the law and the prophets. Brothers and sisters in Christ, the command to love your neighbor as Christ loves you is a command that we cannot hear too often. It's easy to forget. As we make our pilgrimage in this world, a world that is passing away, groaning under the weight of sin, we see all sorts of afflictions befalling God's people. We see famines, starvation, persecution, plagues, catastrophes, death, untold suffering. In light of all of this, along with God's command, it is no surprise to us to know that your hurting neighbor, friends, needs your love. Your neighbor needs your prayers. And sometimes your neighbor needs your provisions. It doesn't hurt every once in a while to check out what's going on in a place like Sudan. A war-torn country filled with malnutrition and people struggling just to get their next meal. Starvation and famines, those are real problems in a place like Sudan. And the saints of God in that country and in many others like it, they need help, both physically and spiritually. Furthermore, in regards to loving your neighbor, it is very good, friends, that we always keep before us the accounts of the martyrs. It is easy to forget in our comfortable environment, at least for now, that there are scores of Christians throughout the world being persecuted, suffering, and dying, all because they believe in and confess Jesus Christ to be their Lord and their Savior. It's kind of hard to believe, isn't it? But that confession gets people killed in some places. There are a multitude of countries in which we could never worship publicly the way we do here. Not only should we give thanks to God for that privilege to be able to worship here as we do, but we should also keep in mind, friends, those saints suffering and being persecuted for the sake of the gospel. Let's get into the habit of praying to God, asking him to preserve his church, to sustain his holy church throughout the world, a church that is increasingly being persecuted by the enemies of the gospel. Let's keep before us also our Lord's word, where St. Paul says to the Corinthian congregation these words, "If one member suffers, all suffer together." That's 1 Corinthians 12, verse 26. Now he's talking about the entire body, the entire church, the body of Christ. If one member suffers, everyone suffers. Friends, you are not isolated from other members in the body of Christ. Let's put it another way. We're all in this together. because every believer is part of the one holy Christian and apostolic church. So when loving our neighbors, it is good to keep a wide perspective on what is going on around us in the church of God throughout the world. It's easy to do, and we mustn't do this, and that is fall into the trap of living in our own bubble and losing sight of those saints of God who are suffering outside the borders of this nation. As we all know, loving others also includes those who are close around us. It's one thing to love someone who lives far away, or someone you've never met before, or someone you don't even see very often. But it's a little different loving somebody who you're around on a daily basis. That can be sometimes a little bit of a struggle. Take marriage, for example. In a marriage, the command to love your neighbor as Christ loves you is anything but easy. After all, you're living under the same roof with another sinner. The longer you are with your spouse, the more their sins and their weaknesses are exposed. And guess what? The more your sins and weaknesses are exposed to your spouse. It goes both ways. In the marital relationship, love does not always blossom between two sinners the way it should, does it? But friends, as Christians, we are still called to love one another. We are called to love, and that means a variety of things, one being patience. If your spouse is going through a tough stretch in his or her life and things are getting a little tense around the household, friends, the best thing you can do is to love them. Give them true, godly, Christian love. Don't throw out God's commandment to love one another just because the marriage is getting a little rocky. Jesus' command to love one another as he loves you does not become null and void when your neighbor is difficult to deal with. Practice peace, patience, kindness, and love. Love one another as Christ loves you. Pray and trust in God to produce the results. Remember, friends, good fruits do come. They come from the one who abides in Jesus and when his word abides in you. Now, along with being patient, loving also sometimes entails overlooking an offense. There's a proverb I remembered when I was a young man, and it's Proverbs 19:11, and it says this. It came into my mind when I was working on this sermon. God's word says, good sense makes one slow to anger, and it is his glory to overlook an offense. Again, that's Proverbs 19, verse 11. Sometimes, friends, loving your neighbor means just overlooking their offense towards you. And it is to your glory to do that, as the word of God proclaims. It is to the glory of the believer in Jesus Christ to forgive and overlook an offense rather than being riled up, getting angry, and plotting revenge. Oftentimes, the best thing to do, friends, is simply be patient. Overlook the offense and trust in God's command when he instructs you to love your neighbor as he loves you. Overlooking offenses, practicing patience, forgiving, these are fruitful acts that flow from love towards the neighbor. Now at this point, after hearing this, these wonderful words from our Lord, the excuses begin to flare up. We hear about forgiving. We hear about being patient. We hear about overlooking offenses. And then it happens. That monster in us, that persistent, lingering, nagging old Adam, the sinful flesh, rears his ugly head and says, wait a minute. The word of God says to forgive. It says to be patient. It says to be kind and all. But you have no idea how bad so-and-so hurt me and the pain that I feel. God's word says to be patient, but you don't know what it's like to deal with someone who lies all the time. The word says to be patient, but you don't know what it's like to constantly deal with somebody who acts before they think. You don't know what it's like to deal with somebody who has a short fuse and explodes the moment they feel personally attacked, which is all the time. excuses. They go on and on and on, excuses we make not to love and serve our neighbor. It really is a simple command from our Lord. Love one another as I have loved you. And yet, it is perhaps the most difficult commandment for us to observe and the one we do not want to do. In your sins, you do not want to pay attention to your neighbor. Instead, our battle cry is, it's all about me. The sinner is very, very good at thinking in this way. The sinner is very good at disregarding or even attacking the very neighbor Christ instructs us to love. Loving is easy if you like the person, if you're having a great day and feel good about yourself. But the moment you perceive that your neighbor has sinned against you, the sinful response is to cut off your love and demand that they do penance. The sinful flesh looks at the neighbor in disgust and has disdain for the neighbor, and yet God's word declares you are no better. Look at your sins. Better yet, know that I see your sins. God's word speaks. All have sinned and fall short, desperately short the glory of our holy and righteous God. Thankfully, Jesus doesn't look at us that way. Jesus doesn't look at us and say, you know what? My people, they're not worth my love. During his earthly ministry, Jesus did not decide, you know what? It ain't worth it. It ain't worth going to the cross. It's not worth going through all of that for my people. My people do not deserve for me to care about them. Their sin is too much. Our Lord said none of that. And that is exactly what we deserve. Because none of us have done anything to merit God's grace, his kindness, and his mercy. But thankfully, friends, God is love. He is merciful. And he is forgiving. Here are these two passages of Scripture. They're from Romans chapter 5, verse 8 and verse 10. They're very important. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. While we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son. Friends, while we were enemies to God, while we were sinners dead in our trespasses, God still loved you. He loved you so much that he sent his only begotten Son to live, suffer, and die for you. Jesus loved you so much that he laid down his life for you. A love, friends, that nothing in this world can surpass. You could have all the riches, all the jewels, all the gems in this world. You could be given tomorrow the perfect body. No more aches, no more pains by the best and brightest minds in the medical field. None of it even comes close to comparing for the love of God, love towards you in the person of Jesus Christ. The sacrifice that he did. A sacrifice for you. To win for you that free gift of salvation. Greater love has no one than this, that someone laid down his life for his friends. Brothers and sisters, keep in mind, Jesus did not die in the most pleasant of circumstances. He was scourged by Roman soldiers. He was mocked, scoffed at when he hung on the cross. He was ridiculed, often declaring to be the Son of God. But you know what? Despite all of that, he still went through his divine plan to save. He still so loved the world that he gave his life so that whoever believes in him will not perish from their sin, but have eternal life. Friends, think about this. The next time you feel yourself thinking of an excuse not to forgive, not to love, not to be patient, not to overlook an offense, think about your Savior Jesus. Think about the mockery, the scorn, the hatred that was yelled at him while he hung on Calvary's cross, bleeding and dying for you. For you. And think also how God looks at you and your sins. It's a good thing he doesn't treat us the way we too often treat our neighbor. No, instead, God loves you. He is merciful. He forgives you of your sins, not based on anything you have done to merit such a gift, but based on the one who died and rose again, your Savior Jesus. By his blood you stand before him, righteous, pure, and without blemish. Your work, so tainted with sins and selfish motives, is made perfect in the perfect one, Jesus Christ. Friends, you are righteous on account of the righteous one, Jesus Christ. As God loves you, a love we see, friends, in the sacrificial death and glorious resurrection of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Let us receive that love and in turn show that love to our neighbor in need. Let us put on compassion towards our neighbor in need. Let's not forget about those saints of God who are being persecuted and suffering throughout the whole world. Love one another as Christ loves you. And finally, friends, never forget, as God's people, his love towards you. Do not forget and trust in God's mercy, his grace, and his forgiveness of all of your sins, richly yours by faith in Jesus, who laid down his life to make you his friends. Friends of Jesus, both now, friends for all eternity. Amen. And may the peace of God, which does surpass all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus from now until life everlasting. Depart in his peace. Amen.